My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. One of the holidays that we recognize in America is Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a day designed to pause and remember the men and the women that gave their lives for our nation. The freedoms that we enjoy today, we are indebted to those who have battled and gone on before. When we think of remembering, I am certain that there are those on a Memorial Day who will think of their loved one they miss. Trips will be made to cemeteries to remember those that have passed. Many rural churches have decoration days that people come to take care of the burial plots of loved ones. You know, speaking of remembering, Paul instructed the young man Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6 to put brethren in remembrance. If he did so, he would be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished and built up in the faith. When we think of remembering and putting people in remembrance, a wise person once observed, we must remember the past if we are to avoid making the same mistakes of the past. And there are over 100 times in the Bible we find the admonition to remember. In other words, remember some things so you won't make the same mistakes. Recall also other things that are good and root them and hold them dear in your lives. In the basement of where my wife and I live, there is a rocking chair. It would be considered an outdoor rocking chair. It belonged to my grandfather, Archie. I want you to think with me for a moment how important that is to me. It's very important. You see, when he passed away in 1972, a couple or so years later, I asked my Aunt Barbara, who lived with Grandma and Grandpa, could I have one of his rocking chairs? And she said, you can if you'll take care of it. A few years later, regrettably, the house burned down and everything was lost. Grandpa had several rocking chairs. There's only one rocking chair left. Guess who's got it? You're right. I still have it in my basement. I still sit in that rocking chair. Now, when I sit in that rocking chair from time to time, I think of the things that Grandpa taught me. I think about his idiosyncrasies. I think about how he liked to watch baseball and got me liking baseball for several years. I'm gotten a little older. I don't follow it as much anymore. I follow other sports. There's some fond memories that I have of sitting beside Grandpa in his rocking chair. Well, I'd like for us to think about what God has given us to remember on this day. For God has given us many things to remember. Let's think about some key passages. How about the first one? From Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Interesting is the emphasis on why to remember. We do so before the evil days come. We root ourselves deep. We must root our young people deep in the Word of God. So that seed that when the years draw nigh, they will have grown as God has expected them to do. To grow in Bible study, they should think about teaching. To grow in service, to serve our Lord. Today it is important that our young people be rooted in what God would have them to do. And when they make the right decisions early in life, they are able to have a more blessed life down the road. We find where Josiah, as a young man, 8 years old, remembered his Creator in 2 Kings 22, verses 1 and 2. Even the Lord Jesus Christ remembered, we find in Luke 2 and verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. A few years later, Luke 2, 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is unto our children and to parents, because Ephesians 6 and verse 4 reminds us, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Your plans and prayers are sowing good unto tomorrow. Our young people must remember this. If they remember their Creator in the days of their youth, they won't have a problem thinking of Him down the road. They grow, they root, they make the right decisions. Where I preach, it's a joy that when I stand in the pulpit and I look to my left, which would be to the right of those that are facing me, the first 2 to 3 rows are full with our teenagers, our young people. They love to come and sit down there together, and it is a joy for them to do it. It only began with a few, and it keeps increasing. It even knocked a few adults off their row, but they didn't mind. They moved on somewhere else. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. But number two, how about from Luke 17:32 when Jesus simply said, "Remember Lot's wife"? Now this is a reference to Genesis 19:26, when Lot's wife looked back when commanded not to and became a pillar of salt. In the context of Luke 17:26-32, Jesus said, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Then Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Well, we would dare say that we need to be prepared. A warning to us all. That things go on as normal, and indeed they will, they do. But one day, when Christ returns, this world ends, we'll stand before Him as judge. That's it. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 12, when he says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Warnings in the Scriptures are prevalent. We must remember these things and be ready. My friends, it is a sad situation that today there are individuals that are not ready to meet the Lord. There are individuals going on their merry lives, not willing to make a change. They'll look at you and say they know they need to live better, but they refuse to make a change, and they will stand condemned of God unless they make a decision to follow God. We must behold the goodness of God and His severity, Romans 11:22. And God has given us so many things richly to enjoy. Why not follow the right way? Why not do the right thing for God? Oh, indeed, friends, we need to remember Lot's wife and know that we can turn away from God's commandments, and that will be it. But now I want you to consider with me a third remembrance. We find this in the context of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 10, where the Bible says, specifically in verse 8, "And they remembered His words." Who remembered whose words? We go to Luke 24, verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." We can imagine the scene at the tomb, when they entered in, and they stood there, and did not see Jesus. The two men that stood by them in shining garments just asked them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And reminded them of what Jesus said would happen, as he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. He arose, my friends. He has arisen. That's the good news. Those are words that we need to remember and hold to our hearts dearly. Let's discuss for a moment the importance of the resurrection in light of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. We find the Apostle Paul takes the resurrection of Christ and says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." As Jesus arose from the dead, notice the preaching of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're able to proclaim that from the Scriptures, and that's the good news. That's what men should receive. That's where men should be saved. That's where men should stand. That should be what is preached. To proclaim Christ, as we've stated on an earlier program, when one believes on or believes in Christ, it encompasses everything about Christ. When we look at the likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Romans 6, 1 through 6 depicts it this way. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man of sin is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now let us consider the resurrection thought here. One is baptized into the death of Christ. How does one get into Christ? Only two ways. Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27. When it speaks of being baptized into Christ, that's how one gets into Christ. You cannot get into Christ any other way other than through baptism. That's Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Now, as we are buried in baptism with Christ, we are then raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. We are raised up in Jesus Christ. We're raised up or raised in newness of life. Now think with me for a moment. Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. Man is dead in sin. Therefore, you bury a dead man in the waters of baptism, and he's raised to walk in newness of life. That's being planted together in the likeness of His death, and will be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now watch this in verse 6. What does that do? Our old man of sin, or our old man, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's when the body of sin is destroyed, is when you bury it. Bury it how? It's affirmed here in Romans 6, and also over in Colossians 2:12, we're buried with Him in baptism. Now, the apostles preached the resurrection of Christ. We see Peter doing that in Acts 2. And then he also taught the necessity of baptism when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We remember the words of Christ, and we must remember what we are to do. My friends, today we need to remember our Lord. We need to remember what wickedness can do and the good news that is there. And as I mentioned, my grandfather's rocking chair, those are precious memories. Today you can have a precious memory by obeying the gospel. You can remember this day as a day that you moved on your faith in Christ. With a repentant heart, as commanded in Luke 13:3, a confessing mouth, as commanded in Matthew 10:32, and you were buried with Him in baptism. You can be this very day, my friends. If you just let us know at the end of this broadcast, I'll tell you how you can get in touch with us. We'll study these matters further, but my friends, make no mistake about it. There are things we need to remember and hold on to as dear as we can. And now as we think of remembering, let's be fond of those that battled for us in days gone by, but even those that battle for us now.